Welcome in to the Steakhouse, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Happy St. Patrick's Day. It's a beautiful Monday in Atlanta. Drew Butler in the driver's seat. Next to my man, Mark Zeno, the Unholy Alliance. We were with you on Friday morning. And Mark, we actually got some pretty good reviews. I had some people tweeting at me saying, we need more Butler and Zeno, and they...
Nobody wants
they
that.
Said opposites attract. I don't know if we're opposites.
Well, you are attractive.
Well, thank you. I mean, look, you're almost 50, and you look great, so a lot of positivity on the Steakhouse.
Why you got to do that to me?
On a Monday morning. How are you, man?
Why you got to do that like that?
I'm just giving you some love, man.
I understand that. You didn't have to throw a number out.
Come on now. Come on now. How are you? How was your weekend?
Oh, it was good. It was good. Got a little golfing on Friday.
Nice. Before the weather came in Saturday night.
Right. It was very nice. It was just a nice, relaxing weekend. Kids had Little League. They had a Little League parade. Spent 8 hours at a ball field on Saturday. From start of the, like, the prep for the parade all the way through the game. Long day, man. Long day.
At least the weather was nice on Saturday.
Yeah. One of my twins is a starting pitcher. The other one's a first baseman. So they played well.
How many games is 8 hours?
It was just one game, but the parade takes like four hours of it.
Gotcha.
And then, you know, it was like an hour warm-up before the game, an hour and a half at the game, 30 minutes for snacks afterwards.
Of course.
Start giving snacks out to kids at games.
What kind of now, what are the snacks? Because obviously,
you know,
orange slices.
Go home.
Orange slices and juice, is it different now? Is it like a full buffet of snacks?
They just throw like fruit roll-up crap at them.
It's horrible. Somebody bring some oranges or some bananas or something.
That's what we used to have.
Yeah, if that.
We didn't get anything. You know what we got? Get in the car. It's time to go home.
They get fruit roll-ups and gummies and
I'm just surprised it's not like
a
pizza buffet.
I don't know when we started this thing, but I am against it. I am against the team snacks afterwards. Have your meeting, talk about the game, and get the heck out of there.
Now, Saturday night, were the storms as bad for you as what was expected?
Big Nothing Burger. It was a fart in the wind, literally.
I mean, obviously, thankful that that was the case.
The lightning storm was cool, though.
I know there were some locations that got hit pretty hard, but, you know, locking in on Saturday evening, because all of our weather people were telling us that it was going to get pretty serious overnight.
God, they're the most dramatic people in media.
But I will say this. In Atlanta, we are pretty lucky to have great and entertaining meteorologists. I'm talking about Chris Holcomb at 11 Alive. Ella Dorsey at Atlanta News First, David Chanley at Fox 5. They all have one thing in common. They're all Georgia Bulldogs, so shout out to them.
Oh, dear Lord.
But flipping through the channels.
That's where this
all
came from.
Yes, of course. Flipping through the channels, you're like, hey, we're pretty lucky to have reliable.
They're the most dramatic people
in the world. And entertaining meteorologists.
They're the most dramatic people. Everything to them is a stop traffic, hold on, apocalypse is coming type deal.
They built it up pretty big on Saturday night.
My God.
And for obvious reasons, because I
mean, it's our job to keep people safe.
No, it's your job to inform people.
How about
that's what first responders for? Cops, police, fire,
easy, Mark
EMS.
Zeno.
Those are the people who keep people safe. You just give people information.
It's their profession. Easy, Mark Zeno.
How about my wife's grandmother who lives with us? Bless her soul. You know, older people, they stay locked into the news. So she watches
of course.
It all
no,
night.
Old people and
she
weather
wakes
go together like peanut butter and jelly.
She wakes the entire house up at midnight. Everybody go to the basement.
There is nothing that motivates a person who has got an AARP card like the weather. Nothing.
To your point, Day-Day.
Not even Social Security motivates them.
At our house, we just slept in the basement. We got a room in the basement with no windows. So in the event that we would have had to wake up at 2 a.m. and freak our daughters out and scramble downstairs, we just had a fun little family sleepover downstairs, you know, and I went down at about 1 a.m. when they went back to regular programming because they said, hey, it's not that severe. It looks like it's breaking up.
I mean, I zonked out around 1 a.m.
Yeah.
My kids were with the ex, so I was home alone. I didn't even wake up till.
You're the guy where if there was a tornado outside, you're going to be outside live streaming it on your Instagram. There's no doubt.
Well, I would go take a
look. There's no doubt about that.
No, I mean, listen, I don't run into danger on purpose.
It just finds you.
That's a whole different conversation. But, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, I would be curious to see if I saw the thing. I would go take a look at it and go,
of course.
You know, then after soiling myself, I would, you know, run into the basement and, you know, deal with things there.
That's only natural. Well, it's St. Patrick's Day today, so happy St. Patrick's Day to you if you celebrate. It's a beautiful Monday in Atlanta right now. We got
newsflash, St. Patrick's was Italian.
St. Patrick was an Italian.
He's from Roman descent, so there we go.
There you go. We're watching the three-hole aggregate playoff going on right now at the Players' Championship.
Talk to
me. Rory McIlroy.
We got a bet in.
Taking on J.J. Spahn down at TPC Sawgrass. A three-hole aggregate. They start on 16, they go to 17, the Island Green, and then they'll play 18. We'll see if they're tied after that. So we'll keep you updated there. We got an awesome show lined up for you today. Mike Conti joins us at 9:40 to talk a little Atlanta United and Atlanta Hawks. We got things I learned later.
Learned.
But first things first, let's hit a little 9 at 9. All right, big news over the weekend. I would say it was expected news. The Atlanta Falcons keep Kirk Cousins on the roster, and he gets a $10 million roster bonus. Mark Zeno, what are your thoughts on this?
Let's be clear. The bonus isn't paid until 2026. So
correct.
It's triggered.
Correct.
Nobody's handed him over a check yet.
Correct.
Until 2026 when the league year starts in 2026. So, but he got a roster bonus regardless of when it's paid. The only reason why that's important, should the Falcons trade him, they might not be physically on the hook to pay.
That is correct.
That $10 million. That said, you know, it's just it's just another kick in the groin here on what was easily one of the more abject failure decisions of any organization in the history of the NFL.
Which
pay
decision?
Kirk Cousins and then draft his replacement.
The dual decision.
Later. Yes.
Gotcha.
We are here, and everything we have talked about the Falcons, we are here because those two decisions were made, not one or the other.
I would agree with that, and we will talk about that in depth on the next segment. So Kirk Cousins, a happy day for him. $10 million roster bonus. That gets the Falcons to just around $100 million invested in guaranteed money. Big, big day in college hoops yesterday. The Georgia men's basketball team is going dancing. They get a 9 seed. They're taking on 8 seed Gonzaga Thursday at 4:35 p.m. in Wichita, Kansas. That game is on TBS. Gonzaga right now. Gonzaga is a 6.5-point favorite. Mark Zeno.
Number feels a little big. I will say this much. When you start to look at the metrics and the matchup, the second largest deficit between the 8, 9, 7, 10 matchups where we're looking at all these Power 5 schools playing each other is Georgia and Gonzaga. And Gonzaga may be the most underseeded team in this tournament.
You were saying last night some Gonzaga metrics have been jumping off the page at you?
Yeah. I mean, they are 8th in net rankings and in KenPom. 8th in the country.
Wow.
8th in the country.
Georgia
is 33rd. There's a 25-slot gap. The only one that's bigger is Vanderbilt. And who are they playing again? St. Mary's. But St. Mary's is not in the top 10.
Understood.
The way Gonzaga is. Gonzaga may be the most underseeded team in this field.
Florida wins the SEC tournament. The SEC ended up getting 14 teams into the tournament. Mark Zeno told us on Friday the league is overrated.
My
Across
God.
The street.
Texas does not belong in this tournament.
Georgia Tech men's hoops. They're headed to the NIT as a 4 seed. They take on Jacksonville State tomorrow night at 7. Shout out to Georgia Tech women's hoops. They get a 9 seed. They're taking on 8 seed Richmond Friday at 7:30. A lot more bracket talk in the show. The Atlanta Hawks on Friday, they lost to the LA Clippers 121-98. And then last night, they lose to the Brooklyn Nets 122-114. So the Hawks on a bit of a skid. Next up,
the Nets
Hornets
saying,
tomorrow night.
Damn you, lottery balls. We don't care.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yesterday, as well, Atlanta United loses to Inter Miami 2-1. Latte Loth, he scored a goal. Lionel Messi played. He also scored a goal as well. So United fall to Inter Miami.
Mike Conti will join
2-1.
Us at 9:40 to talk some more ATLUTD.
Correct. Correct. We're looking forward to that. Braves yesterday, spring training, lost to the Blue Jays 6-2. Next up, Red Sox today at 1 p.m.
Who's pitching?
Spencer
Tell
Strider scheduled to take the mound. How many innings do you think he'll pitch?
Two at most.
It'd be good to see him back
on
the bump for sure.
Wouldn't surprise anybody.
A couple of other news and notes around the NFL. Cooper Kupp, he stays in the division, goes to Seattle, signs a 3-year deal for $45 million. And how about the Cincinnati Bengals?
Well,
I don't know where they're finding this money. But Ja'Marr Chase deservedly gets paid 4 years, $161 million extension, $112 million guaranteed. And T. Higgins on the other side of the offense, he gets out of the franchise tag 4 years, $115 million
what do you
extension.
Want to bet? In 2 years, we're sitting here saying how bad the Bengals are and how quickly those
no
guys
defense
went out of
still.
Town. I mean, look, they are the only team in the NFL, out of all 32 teams, to have not one, not two, but three players averaging over $28.5 million as their annual salary on the roster. Only team in the league. And oh, by the way, that might be okay if one was a quarterback.
Correct.
A running back and a defensive end. That might be okay if one was a wide receiver, a defensive end, and a corner. That might be okay in a variety of different ways. You know what's really bad? When all three of those guys only serve one aspect of the football game. That's it.
And reportedly, they're working on an extension right now with Trey Hendrickson, who is their top defender. I don't know where they're getting the money. We need to figure out how they are manipulating the salary cap, because surely they wanted to keep their offensive core together. But will it continue to be the same problems, shootouts, no defense, and not able to get over the hump? We'll see. But Joe Burrow's got to love that he still has his toys.
You have to believe that Seattle knew that they were going to get Cooper Kupp way ahead of time when they traded DK Metcalf, right?
Like, good point.
Like, you feel like now, like, you know, why would Cooper Kupp go to Seattle? I mean, he could have his...
Yeah.
You know, they must have promised
totally
him money that nobody else was going to get him. Once he became available and Seattle knew he was available, they started the wheels in motion to move on from Metcalf. And
I would agree with that. A lot of times those roster moves are made with the expectation that something else was going to happen. Just like a year ago when the Falcons got the top free agent in the offseason and guaranteed him $100 million to come be their quarterback, only to turn around and draft a quarterback eighth in the draft. Is this the worst case scenario after looking back to where the Falcons were March of 2024? I will ask Mark Zeno that right when we come back. This is the Steakhouse. Thanks for tuning in. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. .922 Drew Butler and Mark Zeno. This is the Steakhouse, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Got the Players' Championship three-hole aggregate playoff going on right now down at TPC Sawgrass. Rory McIlroy starts off with a birdie on the 16th hole. He just hit his tee shot on the Island Green 17th.
He did well.
He did very well to apply pressure. He's about 30 feet away from the pin. A nice, comfortable shot. J.J. Spahn lining up over the ball right now. So we got a little live sports on a Monday morning.
And not too bad. Who bet Rory minus 162?
I talked you into it right before we jumped into the studio. I said, Zeno, you're a true degenerate. Get on in there. Oh, and J.J. Spahn throws it into the water past the pin on the 17th hole. So Rory McIlroy, barring disaster on the 18th hole, should have the 2025 Players' Championship in the bag.
Oh, that's terrible. He bounced it right off the green into the water.
That's a big payday for Rory. $4.5 million. Kirk Cousins laughs at that and says, ha, 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 ha. $4.5 million. That's chump change.
Is Rory going to take somebody's phone on the way to the green?
Yeah, we got a lot of Rory play here on the Steakhouse Friday and Monday. But news of the weekend, if you're an Atlanta sports fan, and more specifically an Atlanta Falcons fan, is that Kirk Cousins is still on the roster, and he earned a roster bonus worth $10 million from the Atlanta Falcons. But, and I think it's important to clarify, as Mark Zeno did during our 9 at 9, specifically keeping Cousins on the roster through this past weekend triggers a guarantee on a $10 million roster bonus that is due in 2026. After collecting $62.5 million of his total contract last year, Cousins is due another $27.5 million this year in 2025. You combine all that with the 2026 roster bonus that kicked in over the weekend, Atlanta's total commitment to Kirk Cousins is now at $100 million. But, Zeno, according to Mike Garafolo of the NFL Network, the $10 million in guaranteed money for the 2026 roster bonus is subject to offset language.
Yes.
That means the Falcons could simply find a trade partner who's willing to pick up the portion of the bill. In other words, the temporary commitment could ultimately cost Atlanta no money if they're willing to find a trade
partner. By the way, just to be clear, $27.5 million is what he's paid in cash this year.
Correct.
It's a $40 million cap hit.
Correct.
$40 million for a guy who's going to give you zero production. $40 million for a guy that you paid all this money to only draft his replacement a month later. $40 million to a guy, okay, who seems to believe he was hurt and you said that he wasn't hurt. $40 million to a guy who, again, you bait and switched when you signed him. Didn't tell him you were drafting as a placement because he probably wouldn't have signed here if he knew that ahead of time. All of this continues to be the albatross that hangs over.
Right.
Everything that they're doing right now in this offseason.
100%. And you said in the last segment that the decision that the Falcons made, which was a dual decision, will continue to haunt this franchise. So it was either one or the other, right? Don't take Kirk Cousins in free agency.
And
tell the fan
Michael
base,
Penix.
Hey, we're going to draft a quarterback. We might even try to move up in the draft to get one of the top three guys. Obviously, Jaden Daniels would have been an unbelievable get. Looks like Michael Penix Jr. could be the right get. Or you bring in Kirk Cousins, then you draft a pass rusher at eight, and then you invest all that money around Kirk to say,
Jared Verse might have been
happen.
A nice addition to the team with Kirk Cousins at quarterback. Like the kind of player that might have been able to save
Correct.
The game that you lost, that might have been the difference between you making the playoffs and missing the playoffs. Might have been.
So looking back, March 2024, to today, St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, 2025, is this the worst possible case scenario that could have happened after the Falcons brought in Kirk Cousins and invested heavily in him, and then decided to draft his replacement a month and a half later in Michael Penix Jr.? Is this the worst case scenario?
No, the worst case scenario would be if Michael Penix flops and then they both didn't work out.
Correct.
Right?
So the jury is still out.
The jury is still out. You'll know by about week eight whether it's good or bad. And even at that, you might not even know 100%, but you'll have at least an idea after 11 games of seeing him play of what he is and what he's not. But again, independent of whether he can play or not, that doesn't mean if he can play, you're still winning games, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're finding out that Bryce Young now can play.
Right. After he got benched this past season,
right.
And it looked very grim at one point.
But guess what? Carolina didn't win any more games.
Yeah.
Just because your quarterback can play doesn't mean you win more games. I mean, theoretically, those two are connected. But when you have as many holes as this roster does, particularly on one side of the ball in the defense, unless your quarterback plans on getting you 35 points a game, you might not win more than you lose.
As someone who's been highly critical of Terry Fontenot, I don't disagree with how he's handling the Kirk Cousins situation at the moment. The $10 million roster bonus, okay.
Oh, well, that part, yeah.
Keeping him on the roster and publicly saying, we're not letting him go, okay. A team is going to get desperate. I don't know if it's before the draft. I don't know if it's during draft weekend. I don't know if it's during training camp or in week 4 through 8. A team will get desperate. Terry Fontenot has to hold his cards close to his chest, that now being Kirk Cousins, to allow somebody to come to him with an offer so he can get something in return. In return, a low draft pick. In return, taking a portion of the contract.
You're not going to get anything in
return.
You're
not going to get anything.
I don't think you're going to get anything
so
in return.
So what do? You just continue to hold him?
Here's my issue, okay? Their argument has been with keeping, when they quote said they're, quote, comfortable with him on the roster, and I'm just using those words that they told us, they're comfortable with
I believe you said last Friday that them saying they're comfortable with keeping Kirk Cousins is like you saying you're comfortable getting a colonoscopy.
Yeah. I mean, you have to go through it, but it's not.
That's quite the visual.
Yes. I mean, especially if you're awake for one. Neither here nor there. That said, their argument has been we're comfortable. Their argument has also been, well, the money's already spent. The money's already allocated.
That is what they do say.
Okay, well, then trade him, pay most of the contract, because that's what someone's going to ask you to do, and get him off the roster. And clear out as much cap space as you can, even if it's post June 1st.
So, is there any scenario?
But you can't
where
say
a team gets so desperate they call the Falcons. You cannot tell me that there isn't value when you look at what Kirk did in the first nine games a year ago.
Listen,
where a team is going to go, we could
Kirk's
use
a
that.
Bum, and Kirk said it himself, and I tend to believe him. He didn't forget how to play quarterback.
I believe him, too. Go back and watch the tape. He clearly got hurt.
He clearly was hurt. I mean, again.
And when people say, well, he was so self-serving during Super Bowl week when he went against the grain and told everybody he was hurt, and he told all the Falcons fans and team and coaches that he wasn't hurt. People, wake up. This is the NFL.
Wait a
second. It is every man for themselves.
Let's go back. The Falcons weren't self-serving when they didn't tell him they were drafting his replacement?
100%.
Okay.
We are actually in agreement on something.
The Falcons were self-serving first before he was. Kirk was trying to create a market for himself.
I'm okay with it. How can anybody be shocked or surprised or upset with what Kirk Cousins did during Super Bowl week. He's trying to help himself out.
And again,
he's stuck in purgatory right now. Of course.
Two things can be true. He did the team dirty.
Yes.
Right? In doing that.
And the team did dirty to him. Yes.
But it's also okay that he did it because he's trying to find a new job, a new home somewhere. Look, the point is that I don't know if somebody needs to get desperate, but I think if you offered a team right now, whether it be the Steelers, whether it be
the
Giants or the Browns,
yeah,
where you basically gave him to them, where you're going to pay a large portion of the salary, get the cap relief you need, and not really ask for anything in return, they would go, it's worth a shot.
Is it at all telling that Kevin Stefanski, who is Kirk Cousins' former coach in Minnesota, has not made a deal to bring Kirk to Cleveland yet? Does that worry you at all?
I don't think he has the authority.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if his world, if it was up to him, he would have Kirk in a Browns uniform already.
Yeah.
But that's just not, you know, when you have that, they have their own albatross to deal with the Deshaun Watson contract. I mean, look,
is it embarrassing to say that I totally forgot about the absolute disaster of the Deshaun Watson contract that the Cleveland Browns are still dealing with?
I mean,
it's insane.
There might be a world, and I have to check the numbers. Imagine they just swapped. And the Falcons had Deshaun Watson as the backup and just actually kept him here.
That's a very interesting scenario.
Just because
how could you finagle
not,
the contract?
It's not their dead cap money.
Yeah.
I mean, regardless, you're going to have the same dead cap.
That would be highly interesting hypothetical to play out on social media. You might get some fodder. You should tweet that at Mark Zeno. I'm at Drew Butler.
I don't need any more fodder on that awful website.
Here's the bottom line, though. Everybody's happy, lovey-dovey, high-fiving, handshaking, having a great time a year ago when the Falcons go out, make a splash move, get the number one rated free agent, invest heavily, hey, we've got our quarterback. Then all of a sudden, they, in the middle of the night, as Kirk Cousins is driving home from a Falcons draft event that he was at, he gets a phone call telling him, we are going to draft your replacement. And I guarantee you, the Falcons told him this, and we've all heard it before. It's not personal. It's just business.
Yeah.
And that is the most killer thing to hear because you know exactly what that means.
I mean, you could tell.
You know exactly what that means, and everything changed in that very moment. Now, was it the right decision? As Mark Zeno says, the jury is still out. Michael Penix Jr. looked relatively good towards the end of last season, and it made you wonder, well, why wasn't he put in the game when Kirk Cousins went through that disastrous four-game stretch?
I can tell you why. It's very easy. Because you don't bench your quarterback unless you plan on keeping him there.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to bench their $180 million quarterback despite the fact that he was struggling.
But is that to save face?
But again, the point is...
Or do they just not clearly, want to keep him on the bench?
There was clearly a disconnect between his health and what it was. I mean...
Obviously.
Now, if you're
you
Kirk
could
Cousins,
tell if you had two eyeballs in your head, you're watching Kirk Cousins, you're going, something's not right. Something is not right.
I
was at the Thursday night game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Kirk threw for 500.
I was there, too.
Three touchdowns. Unbelievable environment. You're sitting. We're going to go to the playoffs.
Yes,
we're
going to
host the playoff game.
And by the way, Eddie, who just tweeted us, listening to this bleep this morning, it's so apparent you both hate the Falcons. No, it's just apparent, Eddie, that we're both objective about what we're watching. Look, and I'll tell you this one. The decision was bad, even if Michael Penix was good. The decision to do both of them, I had unequivocally disagreed with the moment they did it. I thought it was an awful decision. Even if Michael Penix is good, that doesn't mean this thing worked out. Because, again, you're still going to be stuck losing 2 years of his rookie deal to the Kirk Cousins cap hit that is not going anywhere. Beyond all that, the whole thing with the way this has played out is that Kirk, again, knowing they drafted his replacement, would you turn around and say, I need to sit down for a couple of games because my shoulder, my elbow are hurt?
No. I don't blame Kirk at all.
I don't blame Kirk for wanting to try to play through it.
Yes.
No, but again,
that needs to be made very, very clear. He's looking over his shoulder draft night Thursday.
From that moment, he was looking. Right.
Absolutely.
The disconnect was that it wasn't really briefed well by him or the organization.
Correct.
Hey, I'm hurt. I'm gutting through it.
Yep.
He wasn't on the injury report. Right? And so there was a disconnect between how they handled it, how they wanted it handled, and we don't really know the minutiae of how all that went down other than what the Falcons told us after the fact. Clerk said it was a clerical error.
Yep.
He said he didn't report it to them. That was what the Falcons told me, that, hey, he never said anything that he was hurt, so if he doesn't say it, we can't put it on there. okay. I mean, I understand all sides of it. If Kirk was really hurt, why would he say it? Because if he tells them he's hurt, we need to sit him down for a couple of games. If
Absolutely.
Penix plays great,
Absolutely.
He might lose his job.
Absolutely. It's not personal. It's just business. Coming up after the break, we are joined by the boss man, Mike Conti. He's going to be in studio talking Atlanta United, talking Atlanta Hawks, maybe some March Madness chatter as well. Drew Butler, Mark Zeno, you're in the Steakhouse. It's a Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Steakhouse here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, the Odyssey app, alongside Drew Butler. I'm Mark Zeno. Stay with Sports Radio 92.9 The Game all this week for updates on the Players' Championship, brought to you by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local fiduciary advisors, by Umberto Law, when it's game time and winning is the only option, and by the Georgia Hemp Company. Come check out some of our brand new locations, all on your home of major golf championships in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Rory on 18 shanked it into the woods and then Spawn shanked it further into the woods.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a 3-shot lead after 3-putting the 17th hole. So Rory McIlroy on 18 right now is even. JJ Spawn made a mess of 17. He's 3 over and they both just absolutely blasted it way right of the fairway. So we'll see what happens here. As we're giving you live play-by-play of the Players' Championship down.
He's not going to lose this by 4 strokes, is he?
Beach. Look, crazier things have happened, and Rory just seems like he cannot get out of his own way. But we sometimes can't get out of our own way, Mark Zeno. That's why we're joined by the boss man, Mike Conti, in studio right now to discuss Atlanta United, little Atlanta Hawks as well. United fall 2-1 last night inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium to enter Miami. They score first. Latte La had a great header. Lionel Messi claps back quickly with a cheeky goal. And then Inter Miami scores late to get the 2-1 lead. How are you, Mike?
I'm good. It's good to see you.
Great to see you as well. Thanks for joining us. How was the atmosphere last night inside Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
Very engaged. I thought the fans were deep in it. You know, every bit of that 43,000 was full. Really great atmosphere. Terrific game. I know not the outcome that Atlanta United or their fans wanted, and I think there's some justifiable disappointment to see where Atlanta United is after the first month of the season. But the quality of that match, Drew, every bit as good as anything played anywhere in the world this weekend. One of the best regular season matches I think I've seen, especially the first half, where it was just end-to-end, haymaker after haymaker, chance after chance. Really a very intense and exciting match. And you could tell that Messi and the Super Friends, they wanted that one.
Right.
Messi played that match like it was a final. You know, when they put the lineup out and all four of those guys were in after they played in Jamaica on Thursday, that sent a message to me, look out.
They're here to play.
Miami is here to play, and they were. And that goes to show you that maybe there still was some lingering feeling, some sting from that playoff elimination last November. And, you know, Messi looked like he was playing for Argentina against Brazil last night. He was very, very motivated and played maybe the best match I've seen him play since he joined Inter Miami. Terrific match.
Makes you wonder, what has he been doing? Lollygagging in every other game?
He's just incredible. He can turn it on, and you realize why he's the greatest soccer player in the world.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, Jason made a really good comment on that goal that he scored, where basically Schlesch had a giveaway, Messi, you know, takes it away and chips Brad. Beautiful goal. And Jason goes, wow, Messi's actually playing defense. But that's what he does.
Right.
I mean, especially at this late stage of his career, he is elite at kind of hiding, lingering, lurking, and then hitting the switch when he needs to, which makes him so lethal and so dangerous because you can lose track of him very quickly. He was switched on for the whole match last night in a way that he was switched on for 90 minutes plus stoppage time against France in the World Cup final. It was really amazing to see. But he is so good, Mark, at he's like a dog. Like, he conserves his energy. You know, you think, oh, that dog over there, he's just sleeping, he's lazy, he's not doing much. But, man, when it's go time, you know, he snaps up and he's ready to play.
So through the first month of the season, what do you think the most frustrating thing for United supporters is? Because I think you can watch the games and say you like the style of play. Obviously, Miguel Almiron is back. Latte Loth has put some goals in net. Brad Guzan still playing at a high level, but they're just not producing offensively as you'd really have liked to hope.
Yeah, that would be the most frustrating thing for me is this group is not scoring.
Right.
And you spend a lot of money on this group to get goals, and you're not getting it. And it's because they have no chemistry whatsoever. And that's, I guess, not to be totally unexpected when you're assembling a new group that hasn't played together until maybe a month ago. I mean, remember, this group with Almiron and Latte Lott, they didn't even play together in the preseason.
Right.
The first time they played together was that Montreal match. So it is going to take a little bit of time for that chemistry to develop. I think it's taking longer than we all expected. And I think, again, you saw it last night. Almiron is making runs, and it's not being spotted. Saba still appears to be maybe a tiny bit lost at times. They're not getting a lot of service to Latte Lott. They got him two great balls in the first half. One was the goal. The other was just barely offside. And, boy, if that wasn't, it's 2-0, and the match is totally different 20 minutes into it. These things hopefully will come. I suspect that they will. But I think it's frustrating for the fans and probably for the players as well that you've played a month and it still hasn't coalesced yet.
Let's switch gears here to the Hawks as they kind of take a sweep over the hands at the Clippers and the Brooklyn Nets of all time.
How did that happen last night?
Brooklyn said, lottery be damned. We don't need your second balls. We're good. Look, they're five games out of the sixth seed behind the Pistons.
They're not getting the sixth seed. Don't even.
No chance.
Not even worth a discussion. I know you weren't bringing that up, but I just need to interject that again. The Hawks are not going to be out of the play-in round. They are going to be the 7 or 8.
Play-in purgatory still for the Atlanta Hawks.
And the Bulls once again, because it seems it's either the Bulls or the
Bulls
Heat.
Or the Heat. Yeah, exactly.
It might be the Magic this year, actually.
That would
the
way be,
things
that would
are
be
shaping up, and that could be a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's right, because it's 7-8 versus 9-10.
That's right.
That's right, not 7-10 versus 9-8.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, that'll be interesting. But, I mean, I guess post-trade deadline, we have a larger sample now of what they are. Your feeling is better, worse, the same as far as
generally
the
optimistic.
Product.
Generally optimistic. I mean, Caris LeVert being out last night was pretty big.
Yeah.
That's their big scoring punch off the bench. When they are fully healthy, like Jalen Johnson obviously not coming back this year, but when they have everyone else, they're pretty good. Honestly, the moves they made at the deadline did a lot to improve the second unit, which needed improving. Trey still has the space to be Trey and not necessarily have to adjust who he is to accommodate anyone else. When Clint Capella can play, and he's been out for a while, you know, you're getting rebounding off the bench that you're kind of missing right now. And I really do believe that Quinn Snyder is the right coach for this team. He seems to get along with everyone. Everyone likes him.
Yeah.
They respect him. I think from a player development standpoint, you're starting to see the development, certainly of Jalen Johnson before he got hurt.
Yep.
I think Dyson Daniels has evolved a lot this year offensively. You know who he was defensively, but he's evolved offensively. I think Onyeka Okongwu slowly but surely showing signs that he's going to be a nice player. And then look at the real young guys like Mohammed Gay, who has been a shocking revelation. You know, a second-round pick who's become a starter now in this league and has contributed. Dominic Barlow, Keaton Wallace. I mean, guys who are playing for College Park back and forth
right.
are coming up and making contributions to the NBA team. So I think that's a testament to Quinn Snyder's coaching ability as a player developer.
Let me ask you the same style question Zeno just did. Good, bad, or indifferent, Zachary Risacher. I mean, this was the number one overall pick in the draft. Is it kind of as expected up to this point?
Well, it's hard because when you have the label of the number one pick in the draft, I think
the
expectation is at a certain level, and it doesn't account for the overall quality of the draft class. I think Risacher still has a chance to be Rookie of the Year.
Wow.
I still think he's got a chance. I think it's between him, Castle in San Antonio, and then who's the guy from Memphis? Memphis has a rookie.
Would that be a feather in the cap for Landry Fields and the organization and the team?
Yeah. I think it's a feather already because he's clearly better than Sarr. And that was the debate. I mean, Sarr might not want to play for Atlanta, but do you take him anyway because he's clearly better than Risacher? And they didn't do that. And I think Risacher has turned out to be a better player. So I think regardless, Landry Fields got it right. But I still think there's a chance now. I think you have, 14 or 15 games left in the season. There's a chance if Risacher has a big close to this season for him to be Rookie of the Year. The issue is the Hawks aren't on national TV a lot. I don't think the Hawks get a lot of respect nationally. So
they don't have one nationally televised planned game in their final stretch. I mean, they're going to take on the Warriors this upcoming Saturday night. That's on NBA TV. Before that, though, Mike, they're at Charlotte to take on the Hornets tomorrow night at 7 p.m. You can get in tickets
TNT?
As low as $7.
The TNT didn't want that game?
Not right here. Not what I'm seeing. Yes. Yeah,
well, you'll have it on 92.9 the game.
Yes, you will.
Let me ask you this much about the Hawks. Look, I know they've changed the roster. They had some injuries. Defense now, again, allows the fourth most points per game in the league. Mm-hmm. It's always been a sore spot.
Mm-hmm.
It was better earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it falling off? And have they really made any dynamic changes to this defense at all?
Well, Jalen Johnson getting hurt, you lose a lot of rebounding there. And some rim protection. Capella going to the bench. And I know Capella's kind of a polarizing figure. But you lose rim protection with Capella going to the bench. Dyson Daniels has had a fantastic year with steals. His rebounding and block numbers are good, but he can't do it all. I mean, just because you have one elite defensive player doesn't mean you're going to be an elite defensive team. Mark, I think the way the Hawks are set up and the way that Quinn Snyder wants them to play, it's not that they don't care about defense. But they don't necessarily need to prioritize.
They're just not any good at it.
Yeah, well, they just don't. The way Quinn Snyder wants them to play, if Quinn Snyder had his way, the Hawks would take 50 threes a night.
Right.
That's how he wants them to play. He wants them to tee and high and let it fly, as he says, and play fast, play up-tempo.
I like that.
You just
got to make the baskets.
Exactly.
Yeah, you got to make the shots.
Exactly. And you're going to have nights where that doesn't happen. I think, look, when was the last time a lockdown defensive team won the world championship?
Well, won
a
it.
Lockdown.
You could argue
team.
The Celtics have had a very good defense for years, but Miami got there with the defense.
Okay.
And one guy. Yeah. I mean, they got there. Right? To your point, nobody's really won it with a lockdown defense.
Yeah. And I that might be the overall philosophy across the league, not just at the Hawks. That.
Right.
You know, we want to try to be good defensively, but, the way you win games, and I don't like the way that basketball's evolved, but the way you win games in basketball now is you make a lot of three-pointers.
One of my questions last week on three strikes was March Madness opening weekend or the Masters, and I was shocked at the 50-50 response that I ended up getting.
Oh, that's tough.
But we have March Madness coming up this Thursday. Georgia plays at 4:35. They'll be on TBS taking on Gonzaga.
Mm.
Any surprises last night on Selection Sunday?
Carolina getting in.
Bubba Cunningham, the athletic director of North Carolina, is the chairman of the Selection
Carolina
Committee.
North Carolina and Texas getting in made a joke of this. This committee should be investigated. It really, it should be investigated. At this point, those are just egregious examples. West Virginia had a better case. Indiana had a better case. Northwestern had a better case. I mean, yes, Bubba Cunningham is a North Carolina AD.
And he's not in the room when they talk about North Carolina.
Of course, right?
Of course not. But he's been sitting with these guys for the last 5 weeks, discussing everything not related to North Carolina. I'm sure there was no influence.
So I saw a tweet last night that this is a possible Final Four scenario. One seed Auburn against one seed Florida. Mm-hmm. Two seed Bama against two seed Tennessee.
Zeno
the potential national championship could be Auburn versus Alabama.
Zeno in shambles.
Of course. You guys love to take something I say, twist it into a narrative that you like, which is not actually what I said. When I talked about the SEC being overrated, I talked about the bottom five teams being overrated. I never denied the eliteness of the top four or five in the SEC, which include the four teams you just mentioned.
But
Florida is the best team in the country.
And Georgia beat them.
Late in the season,
I'm not saying Georgia doesn't belong in.
I know.
Georgia's cases.
Yeah.
I thought that
Texas
honestly,
does not belong in this
like,
tournament.
If
and neither
you ask
does Oklahoma.
Me about surprises. Like Memphis getting a five seed, I thought that was weird. Like there was some overseeding. The committee clearly valued The Big East, for example, getting Xavier in there.
Yeah.
That surprised me a little bit.
No, I thought the tournament.
I thought maybe they overvalued St. John's a little bit, giving them a 2 seed as opposed to a 3 seed.
Whoa. Well, they have lost 4 games by no more than 4 points in any of them.
Yeah, but they don't play in the SEC.
They do not play in the SEC. They'd be a 500 team if they were in the best conference in college basketball.
Fourth best team or fifth best team in that conference, St. John's would be.
There you go.
I agree.
And I told Drew earlier, Gonzaga is way underseeded. That's the problem.
That's
I think.
Very
you
tough
said
draw
eight
for Georgia.
In KenPom.
They are eighth in KenPom, eighth in net rating.
That is a tough draw. And they've got an eight seed.
That's, you know, they should be probably a 5 or a 6 seed.
Agreed.
And it's a really tough draw for Georgia. I think the number's a little fat. I would probably take Georgia plus a 6.5.
Okay.
It's just a, when you get outside of 2 full possessions in college, I get very nervous.
Yeah.
Because of the
especially
shot clock
in Final Four. March Madness.
And by the way, the other problem, too, is that, you know, here's what happens in the tournament that doesn't really happen during the regular season.
Yeah.
Nonstop foul fest at the end automatically because nobody wants to give up.
That's right.
So there's a lot of variance there that you can account for or can account for, I should say, in these games. But, you know, I think Georgia will be competitive. I just don't know if they'll win the game.
All right, Mike Conti, thanks so much for joining us. After the break, we are going to dive into the tailgate, a little bit more March Madness talk. Drew Butler, Mark Zeno, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. This is the Steakhouse, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Follow 92.9 The Game on social media, at 92.9 The Game. I'm at Drew Butler. He is at Mark Zeno. Download the Odyssey app. The Steakhouse is the most streamed radio show on the Odyssey app. That's a fact. I checked it. I looked it up. I went on to ChatGPT. I said, who is the highest streamed audio show on the Odyssey app? They said the Steakhouse in Atlanta. So congrats to us. Rory McIlroy.
That would be something I learned.
Yes, indeed. We got things I learned coming up. In the next segment, Rory McIlroy is your 2025 Players Champ. He just defeated J.J. Spawn in a 3-hole aggregate playoff this morning.
Thank you very much, Drew Butler.
$4.5 million for winning.
I don't have that much in my account now, but I have
PGA
a little more than I did before this morning started.
Flagship event. Yes, Mark Zeno laid a nice little wager on Rory, minus 162 before the playoff started. So Mark, starting off this week as a winner. We got the tailgate coming up in just a second. I just saw a rule that will help you fill out your bracket and win money in any pool that you're in. And it probably doesn't surprise you where Mark Zeno lies on the bracket subject. So before we get to the tailgate, I'll just ask you, Mark Zeno, how many brackets are you going to fill out?
Zero.
Zero. Grumpy Mark Zeno, who's
it's
got this
grumpy
blank canvas of college basketball all week long,
why
who loves
it,
gambling, who talks
it
all the time for all these
okay,
big name wagering
gambling
services?
A bracket
he says
gambling
zero brackets. That's the least surprising thing ever.
First of all, it has nothing to do with grumpy, okay? So don't pace me with that pressure.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, why do I have to fill out?
It's fun.
I used to fill out brackets.
It's lighthearted. It's fun. You could be the guy that says, I got all the games on Thursday right, or, oh, I lost this one by a last-minute buzzer beater.
You know what me getting all the games on Thursday right in a bracket gets me money-wise? Zero.
Well, it's fun, Mark Zeno. It's okay to have a little lighthearted fun.
Okay, so you want to fill out a bracket?
It's okay to pick a 16
one. I will fill out a bracket just for you. I'll make sure I do one.
Fairleigh Dickinson, a 16 over a one.
Hey, listen, we live bet that game. I was in a sports book a couple of years ago.
I like
live
that
bet
action.
That game. There's video of it. We were going bananas. We got it at plus 800 at halftime, and they hung on and won. It was a very nice payday for us.
A very nice payday.
We destroyed that steakhouse we were in, though.
Indeed. Let's do a little tailgate, shall we? Yes, we will get into March Madness. The brackets are out, as we discussed. Georgia taking on Gonzaga. It's an 8-9 matchup. The Dogs get the 9 seed. They're in Wichita, Kansas, 4:35 on Thursday afternoon. The game's on TBS. Tough draw for the Dogs. Georgia Tech, they're in the NIT. Georgia Tech women's hoops, they get a 9 seed as well. But first, I want to talk about a trend that's happening in college football. And I saw an article written in Dog Nation. Is the spring game on its last legs?
Yes.
Texas, has canceled their spring game. Nebraska has canceled their spring game. And even yesterday with G-Day, Georgia's spring game, scheduled for April 12th, there was an article in Dog Nation that said, will the G-Day game survive college football's latest trend? Josh Brooks, the athletic director, was asked about it. He says, hey, we take things hour by hour, day by day, week by week at a time. Kirby Smart was asked about the G-Day game. He said, look, it's on the schedule, but I can't predict the future. He also mentioned that a year ago, I believe it was Penn State, Mark Zeno, they were dealing with some D-line depth issues, and they just canceled the spring game before it happened just a couple of weeks out. So my question to you, I guess one, the easy question would be, on April 12th, will the Dogs be playing the G-Day game? But more so in the future, is the spring game dead?
I think this year they'll play it. I think you're right, and I think the forecasting is accurate that this will be an event that goes away.
Is that sad for the college football fan? Maybe for the diehard?
Sad for the fan, but guess what? You know who's not sad about it? Guys getting an NIL money.
Right. And you're totally right.
It's part of the reason why this whole thing is being canceled. I mean, that's the factor of this whole thing is you know, changing the landscape, obviously, of college sports across the board, particularly college football. And look, I think when it comes down to it, you know, the teams would do it. I mean, is that a real money grab per se?
No, it's more of a celebration.
Right.
It's let's get everybody
listen,
together.
They make money
you're
off
in
of it,
spring.
Right?
Yes,
they don't
of course.
Lose money on it. So you know,
Georgia has an alumni flag football game before the game.
Right. I mean, so
it's a big get together.
It's kind of why the reason why all-star games are all dying.
Right.
Because it doesn't mean anything. There's no value to it. Right. And we've become so short attention span. That is anybody really watching a spring game if you go to it? Like, I mean, it's not an event that you need to be at. It's a glorified practice.
Kentucky was the team a year ago who, leading up to their game, didn't have any D linemen healthy, and they just said, we're not going to play the game.
Yeah.
Do you think at all it's more so a worry about possibly some young talent having a quote-unquote good showing, and then the transfer portal, and then NIL offers come in, and maybe your roster could get plucked at a time where you're just trying to get out there and get some reps? It's a much bigger issue. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's all part of it again. Yeah. You know, it might be one of those things where even as simple as a kid shows out in the spring game and walks into the coach's office and
says, I want more.
Yeah.
I want more money.
You're not going to play.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm going to the portal.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Look, you're totally right. There's no doubt about it. Georgia's G-Day scheduled for April 12th. A lot of fans are going to be really interested to see how Gunnar Stockton looks, how Ryan Puglisi looks, how that revamped wide receiver room looks. So we'll see if it actually happens. But again, scheduled for April the 12th, G-Day, the red and black game. All right, I got some good bracket rules here that I just found on social media from DraftKings. Are you ready?
Send it.
These are your bracket rules in order for you to win your bracket. Rule number one, no team west of Texas has won the Final Four since 1997. That eliminates 13 teams.
So Arizona in 97 was the last time it happened.
Rule number two, no seed higher than an 8 seed has made the title game.
Right.
That eliminates 29 teams. We have 26 teams remaining. Rule number three, the last 20 champs have been ranked in the top 12 of the Week 6 poll. That eliminates 16 teams.
That means nothing.
10 teams now remain, Mark Zeno. Rule number four for your brackets. The last 19 of 22 champs have KenPom, top 20 adjusted offense, and top 40 adjusted defense.
Would you like me to add one even more fine than that? The last nine national champions in KenPom have had an offensive and defensive efficiency ranks of 22 or better. As of March 15th, only six teams profiled for that. Duke, Florida, Auburn, Houston, Tennessee, and Iowa.
Well, you're getting to the point because rule number five, the last 21 of 22 champs of the Final Four have either been UConn, back-to-back national champs, or top three in KenPom. That leaves you with the Florida Gators and the Duke Blue Devils, as Mark Zeno just had in his final six or eight teams. So, per the rules of your bracket, it would probably behoove you to have Duke and Florida in your Final Four. And by the way they're playing right now, Mark Zeno, it's hard to argue against it. Florida put on a show in the SEC tourney. They got 30 wins on the season. They're your SEC champions. And Duke, they won the ACC conference tournament without having Cooper Flagg? Do you think Cooper Flagg will go this weekend?
No, he's not playing in the first game against 16 seed. There's no reason for him to. I mean, if they wait till what time is it? Their game is on Friday, correct?
I believe so.
Which means, again, the committee did them a favor by not making him play Thursday.
Obviously.
So Friday, Sunday. So to next Sunday, he would, or to Sunday rather, he would have 10 days since the injury. Right? Happened last Wednesday.
It was a nasty looking injury,
man. It was. And again, I don't even know if he plays in the 8-9 game.
Duke's scheduled for 250 on Friday afternoon.
So he wouldn't theoretically play against the Mississippi State Baylor winner until Sunday. And again, I don't know that they need him for to beat either one of those teams.
I saw ESPN's Jay Williams put out his Elite Eight.
1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2.
Yeah, what was that? I mean, can we have a little bit of fun?
No.
1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2. That's Jay Williams of ESPN getting paid millions upon millions of dollars. That's almost as good as years ago when Desmond Howard on College Game Day in the preseason had like Baylor in his college football playoff among Michigan and a couple of other teams. It looked absolutely ridiculous.
I will say this much about Florida's opening game against Norfolk State. I will be taking the Norfolk State Spartans in the first half, getting 15.5 points.
Who does Norfolk State play?
Norfolk State plays Florida.
Oh, wow. And you want to take the points.
Yeah.
There was another team you mentioned, Bryant. Is that correct?
Bryant could be a scary matchup for Michigan State.
Michigan State ended the season on a very high note. Tom Izzo has the boys playing pretty well. They are in the region that will be playing in Atlanta at State Farm Arena in the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight. Will you be going to any of those games?
I may. I would like to
Depending on who's there, because we looked at that region earlier.
It could be SEC
championship weekend.
A&M and Ole Miss all there.
That would be a great scene down at State Farm Arena, no doubt about it. So Atlanta going to be hosting the Elite Eight in the South region.
Sweet 16, yeah. I mean, listen, it's an interesting bracket. That's where Auburn is the number one seed. That's why. I mean, imagine how many Auburn fans are going to be flocking to State Farm Arena, going to be descending upon Atlanta.
They're already
ones
here.
Are already here, yeah, but yeah, I was going to say, how many more are going to be driving over from Alabama to get here and take part in that whole thing? Going to be interesting to say.
Going to be interesting to see, no doubt about it. So March Madness is here. Nobody's going to be working Thursday or Friday. I saw a tweet last night. The Cheetahs still doing their March Madness Thursday and Friday thing. And as it's been mentioned many times on this show, that is the brainchild of said Steak Shapiro.
It is.
Yes, back in the 790 The Zone days, they created the Thursday-Friday parties at the Cheetah to watch hoops. What's it called? Hoops and Hotties or something like that?
I don't know. I've never been.
That's what it's called now. It's not what it was called back in the day. Oh. But Steak's five keys.
Can I say what I thought it was called?
Steak's five keys to having a great event are sports, scantily clad women, music, gambling, and alcohol.
Food. Okay, yeah.
I sent that to a group chat last night, Bo and Day Day, because they were texting about, hey, should we go Thursday and Friday? I said, that's Steak Shapiro's brainchild. I said, here are the five things that constitute a great party. And I mentioned it. Sports, music, scantily clad women, gambling, and booze. And they were on their way back from Las Vegas. I think they had the immediate Sunday scaries when I laid out what the good things
were. That's what they just had in Vegas.
To have a good party. Exactly. Exactly. So they had a good weekend for sure. I will not be at the Cheetah Thursday and Friday, just for your information. Hey, when we get back from the break, we got a little things I learned, and I need Mark Zeno's help for that. Rick Pitino, wow, he had a good weekend. And Tiger Woods, guess who he's dating? Unbelievable news. Yeah, we'll get into that right after the break. It's 10:15. You're in the Steakhouse. Drew Butler, Mark Zeno, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Steakhouse here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Alongside Drew Butler, I'm Mark Zeno. Filling in for Steak. Where is Steak these days?
I think he was just down in Orlando, Florida on his little boys' trip.
Mm.
They surely found some trouble down there. There's no question about that. I think they intentionally go to Orlando to stay out of trouble. And
but
I can 100% guarantee you, as soon as they all get there in this baller house that he tells me they stay in, the first order of business is find where the trouble is and move swiftly towards it.
Sports Radio 929 The Game is Atlanta's home for the NCAA Basketball Championship. Join us for complete play-by-play coverage all the way through the national championship game on April 7th. Brought to you by Trajan Wealth, your trusted local fiduciary, Humberto Law. After an injury, we are your winning team, and by Hooters. Bounce into Hooters and catch every game. That's NCAA tournament continuing through April 7th on Sports Radio 929 The Game. I'd like to just make one more point about
the
tournament.
Yeah, please do.
And you know, I've been very vociferous about the fact that North Carolina does not belong in this tournament.
Right.
They are not. They did not do enough.
I saw some North Carolina fans digging up some crazy statistics to somehow
justify their entrance.
Right. Okay. Manipulate the narrative that they do deserve to be in the tournament.
I will say this much. Your performance in the tournament does not validate whether you belonged in or not. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Not really. Tell me that again.
Whether North Carolina, if North Carolina loses their first game, it's not validation
that
they didn't belong
here. Yes, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Just like, you know, when a 5 seed loses, no one goes, well, they didn't belong in the tournament.
Right. A 12 seed always beats a 5 seed.
Right. I mean, so it's like, don't do that thing where, you know, the bubble teams like North Carolina and Texas, as much as I was to get, they're in.
Yeah.
So now I'm just going to play them as they are tournament teams. And the only reason I say that is because I'll likely be betting on North Carolina against San Diego State. And I think both of those teams are beating Ole Miss.
And that's a 5-12 game?
That's a 6-11
game. 6-11
game. So I don't believe North Carolina should have made it in. They're in.
And you gave me a great stat about the play-in games, which happened Tuesday and Wednesday,
right. So,
to get an 11 seed, correct?
Right. Since they started doing the 11 seed.
Play-in games.
The play-in games, right.
The first four,
the first four. One of the teams who's the winner of the 11 seed game has won a tournament, at least one tournament
to get to the second round. Fascinating.
A lot of them have won two.
Now, are the first four games still in Dayton, Ohio?
They are.
Okay.
Still in Dayton, Ohio.
And how many years has that been going on now? Maybe 10?
God, we're at 10 or 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're thinking about going past 68 teams. Do we need more?
No, we don't.
Because guess what happens? Expansion only leads to more expansion.
We're going to get more.
Just like how college football went from 4 to 12, and shortly we'll be at 16. There's no question about it.
I asked you this, and I'm curious to see what fans think. 404-726-0929 are up on Twitter. The fact that a third of the field came from the SEC and the Big Ten, good thing or a bad thing?
I just think it's the reality of the situation that we're in now with super conferences and as the SEC and Big Ten just continue to get better and better and better and bigger and bigger and bigger, they're going to get the lion's share of the invites just as they do in football.
I told you, the bottom of these leagues are not good.
How can you justify saying that when you're watching the SEC tournament and those graphics on the baseline advertising boards are just talking about how, statistically, the SEC as a whole this year, the conference was the best of any conference ever in college basketball?
Yeah,
is everybody else just that bad?
No, I mean,
there's no bias. This is basketball.
The problem is that
there's no inherent bias for Texas basketball.
The NCAA tournament has always been billed.
Bias is UNC getting into the tournament based on their brand.
Again, the NCAA tournament has always been about, and it's been sold and billed on Cinderella and you know, the glass slipper and small conference teams having a chance to make some noise. That's what everybody buys into. That's not me. I've always been the big conference guy. For the first time in my life, I'm trying to push the little guy here. I've always been more in favor of the bigger schools, bigger teams, bigger conferences, getting everything because I don't need a little guy around.
Yep.
That said, what is going to transform, I think, over the next couple of years is that it gets harder and harder and harder now because, and it's not even bias. It's just it's more like confirmation bias. It's not about SEC. It's more just about confirmation bias these teams, they've played a tougher schedule. When you look at the metrics across the board, you know, since when did going 6-12 in conference say you had a good year?
Look at who they're playing. That's the whole point.
Hold on a second.
Zeno.
Texas
That's the whole point.
Texas went 3-5 in quad two games. Like, all of a sudden, the losses
but
don't
who
matter.
Who would get in over a Texas? I guess that's the devil's advocate.
West Virginia
advocate.
Easily
who would
had a better
in
case than
over
Texas.
UNC.
West Virginia had an easier, much better case than Texas.
All right.
And North Carolina.
All right. Enough. Can I do something?
Enough.
Can I do something that I love to do and something that always gets me just vitriol on social media?
What's that?
People scream at me and they say, stop doing it. You're killing me. Things I love.
Oh.
The Johnnies are back. St. John's wins the Big East tournament. They had a 30-win season, Mark Zeno, revamped with NIL money.
From last year.
10-win improvement. They invested heavily in Rick Pitino. He's having a good time. Mike Rapoli, billionaire booster, throws a ton of money at the roster. They get a bunch of transfers. Well, it's obviously working out. They win the Big East for the first time in a quarter century. How did Rick Pitino say he was going to celebrate the big victory?
This is great.
How do you celebrate tonight?
I'm going to drink a quart of Jameson's.
That's an all-time quote.
That's a great line.
Rick Pitino's house or his office famously got robbed a couple of years ago. And out of all the trophies, out of all the memorabilia, out of all the signed jerseys that were stolen from him, he was asked about it, and he said, I'm really upset about, you know, the 1979 bottle of Chateau Petrus they stole from me. So, Rick Pitino, congratulations. He had a quart of Jameson to celebrate the Big East title. What do you think about the Johnnies?
Listen, I've been waiting for this moment for a long time. I mean, New York is not a college sports town. This
right.
is the only college team I grew up liking.
Yeah, of course.
St. John's basketball.
Good for Rick Pitino.
Good, but they've got to live up to the billing here. You know, there's some people who are very high on St. John's. There are some people who are not. I would tell you they got a very favorable draw on the bottom of the bracket. Kansas and Arkansas don't represent a real threat.
That will be a good second-round matchup, depending on which team wins, Kansas or Arkansas. It'll be Pitino against either Bill Self or John Calipari. Going to have fun. Hey, did you hear who Tiger Woods is dating? Got a little Hollywood minute for you. Tiger Woods is dating Vanessa Trump, the ex-wife of Donald Trump Jr., who, of course, is the son of President Donald Trump. They've been secretly dating, Mark, for like over a year. Not a secret anymore. And Don Trump Jr. and Vanessa Trump's daughter is Kai Trump, who is a very highly touted high school golfer. She'll be going to the University of Miami to play golf. So Tiger Woods back in the news.
Is like these
Kai is a very pretty girl. There's no doubt about it. She's got a huge YouTube following. So congrats to Tiger Woods.
So in other words, she doesn't really ever actually have to be good at golf. She just has to look good in a golf skirt and make a golf shot every now and then.
That's correct. But she is a very good golfer, and obviously now she's got a good coach as well, with her mom's boyfriend being, I think, the greatest golfer of all time.
I'm not hating on that whole deal. If you're a female who can hit a golf shot,
why not?
You look good in a golf outfit, knock yourself out. Like, I'm not hating.
Let me ask you one more question. What the hell is Bill Belichick doing? Did you see the pictures that he posted over the weekend of him doing beach yoga with his 24-year-old girlfriend? You've got Bill Belichick lying on his back, fully clothed on the beach, and he's got his 24-year-old girlfriend up on his feet, doing the airplane like how I do with my 7 and 5-year-old daughters.
I was going to ask you if that was still called the airplane.
Yeah, when we're down in the basement hanging out, you know, daddy's down on the ground, we do the airplane still. That is what Bill Belichick posted, or his girlfriend posted, them doing on the beach over the weekend. He's 72. She's 24. I don't want to be too harsh, but he looks like a beached whale lying on the beach, fully clothed, and his girlfriend has the full Bose headphones on. I don't know what that was, Bo, but it was one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen.
Hey, good for him for still having the athletic prowess.
I
even be able to do that. It takes a little bit of, you know, you got to have a little bit of muscle.
You know, and it was leaked last week that Bill Belichick sent out an email to everybody within UNC that says, any communications to my email, you have to CC my girlfriend on it as well. So she has entrenched herself into his lifestyle. I mean, I guess good for her. That is just one of the most head-scratching photos that I've ever seen.
A photo. They did multiple poses.
Four of them.
Yeah.
I mean,
four of them, dude. It's insane. It's insane. I guess to your point, but he's 72. Good for him for being able to do that.
Hold on.
I know when my dad comes over and butt butts on the ground with the granddaughters, like, I got to help him up.
The part of the story I didn't like is where you seem to be ignoring the fact that when you are a guy dating a girl who is infinitely more attractive than you are, you will do anything she asks you to do.
Of course you will.
Okay, so like if she wants you to be on the beach,
it's undefeated.
Doing
of course
yoga,
you will.
You're on the beach doing stupid.
Of course.
I understand he's
where
70.
Where do you draw the line,
though? But guess what? As long as there is
stick
testosterone
up for yourself
pumping through his veins and other parts of his body, he will do whatever this girl wants him to do.
Wow. I don't even know what to say. It's just shocking. Go look it up. Bill Belichick, girlfriend, beach yoga. You will be shocked. That is things I learned. Fun to be with you on a Monday, Mark Zitto. It's St. Patrick's Day. We got three strikes coming up next. So get on those phone lines right now. I got some awesome questions. The phone number is 404-726-0929. Three strikes coming up next. 404-726-0929. Drew Butler, Mark Zeno. This is the Steakhouse Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. /10:41. Drew Butler, Mark Zeno. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Been a fun Monday so far. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Big game of the night is actually big game of the day. Presented to you by John Foy and Associates. Atlanta Braves spring training, taking on the Red Sox, 1 p.m. first pitch. Why? Because Spencer Strider is scheduled to take the mound. How many innings do you think, Bo? Two?
Two at the most.
Two at the most?
They probably just want to see what he looks like.
I think he's just going on
a mound. Yeah.
Just going one, just see how he's looking.
Yep.
All reports have been optimistic, though, about the recovery so far. Do you think he's going to have like a bionic arm when he comes back? You see that sometimes with these guys who have Tommy John surgery. I'll ask you one more question, Bo. You know, let's talk about the Achilles injury for a quarterback. They always say you're better in year two. What about the Tommy John? You get a pretty good rebound relatively quick to how serious the surgery is.
Yeah, it comes back pretty strong. The only thing, I mean, and this was basically the cleanup procedure where they didn't have to go in and redo the entire thing.
Gotcha.
So now he'll have a start today. Then he'll pretty much, in effect, be starting spring training.
Yeah.
Get on a regular throwing regimen and start throwing, you know, game situation type deals. And then it's looking like he may be back towards the end of April instead of May.
That'd be awesome. When is opening week, opening day at Truist Park?
April 4th is the home opener.
Okay.
So we're on the
That's
road
a Friday.
For a two-game series versus the Dodgers to start the season.
Very in L.A.
Strange, after they get back from playing a series in Japan.
Tokyo, yeah. Okay.
So we're there, I think, 28th, 29th of March, and then we're home April 4th, or maybe we're there April 1st, 2nd, something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Home opener, April 4th.
That's your big game of the day, presented to you by John Foy and Associates. Braves taking on the Red Sox, 1 p.m. today. Spencer Strider on the mound to begin his spring training. All right, we have three strikes coming up. Get on the phone lines, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Here are the questions. I got one more thing to talk to Mark Zeno about. Here are the questions for three strikes. Question number one, are you wearing green today? It's a yes or a no. I know Steak does not like yes or no questions for three strikes. It's St. Patrick's Day. Are you wearing green today? And guess what? I'm really upset with everybody inside this studio and offices. I think I'm the only one wearing green. Zeno, not surprised.
Irish.
Bo, purple. Day-Day, he's got a bracelet on. He's got green on. Pretty sure Conti doesn't have any on. I'll have to walk
Irish.
Around the cubicles
Conti's
after.
Conti's not Irish either.
Nobody's wearing green except me.
Well, what?
Shame on all of you. I get to pinch you
why
all.
Why do I have to celebrate a holiday?
Are you wearing green today? Second question. What's the biggest age difference you've ever dated or married? You got Bill Belichick doing beach yoga. The guy's 70-plus with a 24-year-old girlfriend. What is the biggest age difference you've ever dated or married? You have to be honest, okay? And then the third question, how many brackets are you going to fill out? 1, 0, 20. March Madness right around the corner. How many brackets are you going to fill out? Are you wearing green today? What's the biggest age difference you've ever dated or married? And how many brackets will you fill out? Three strikes, 404-726-0929. Get on the horn right now. I was going to ask, you know, Kirk Cousins, the big news over the weekend. He stays on the Atlanta Falcons roster. Mm-hmm. He gets his roster bonus of $10 million. Mark and I dove into the specifics of that. It's a 2026 roster bonus. The Falcons keeping him actually give them a little bit of leverage to possibly get that off the books if a trade partner were to surface. I don't know if that's going to happen. Do you think Kirk Cousins will be on the roster week one?
I still don't think he'll be on the roster. I think something will come along that will...
Is there any chance something happens during the draft? As you know, deals get made
deadline
during the draft.
Spur action, so,
deadline yeah. spur action.
There's a sense of...
Maybe some quarterbacks get taken in the mid rounds that some teams were eyeing and they become more desperate.
Or, you know, somebody gets hurt during training camp.
Yeah.
And it facilitates a trade.
Yep. You know? So you think, without a question of a doubt, he's not on the Falcons week one?
I won't say without a question of a doubt. I would think it's unlikely. I do believe the Falcons when they say that they are comfortable keeping him on the roster. Well, I mean, comfort is one word to use.
Comfort is one word to use. Tolerating is another. A lot of money.
Tolerating is another.
And going back to last season when Kirk was what we now know as injured, and he was playing a completely different style of quarterback than he had shown through the first nine games when the Falcons were 6-3 with a two and a half game division lead.
I mean, I
But you said, why didn't they put Penix in? Why didn't Kirk come out and say he was hurt? Well, it's obvious because he knew as soon as he showed that chink in the armor, he's done. And the Falcons didn't want to bench him because then they'd have egg on their face to say, we made the wrong decision.
Well, not only that, again, they didn't want to bench a guy that they just paid $40 million a year to be here
right.
to. And not only that, you know, again, on the off chance, because they who has bigger rabbit ears than the front office of the Falcons? Nobody. And so if you put Penix in there for three games and they went 3-0
right.
and he played great, the world would be screaming for him to be
of
the
course,
star.
Of course, but that's and natural. That's any fan base. That's any fan base. Backup quarterback, always the most popular guy in the city.
Yeah, that's why I don't care who it is, ever. And I would never invest money in one, but neither here nor there. I think it was one of those spots where Kirk was very cautious about his job security and didn't want to admit that he was hurt.
Yep.
Even though he clearly was. As the Falcons told us, he never went to report his injury.
Look, this is the NFL. You have to look out after yourself. You have to look out for yourself because nobody else will do it for you. It is a very, very selfish business at the end of the day. I don't blame Kirk Cousins for one thing. I don't blame the Falcons either. It's just the cost of doing business. As I said earlier, it ain't personal. It's just business. 404-726-0929. Let's do some three strikes. All right, we got Mark in Kennesaw. Mark, happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Are you wearing green today?
I am. I'm wearing a green sweatshirt.
Good for you.
My master's hat.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's all you need. Good for you. What's the biggest age difference you've ever dated or married? Please be honest.
My wife, 10 years. She's 10 years older than I am.
Okay, good for you.
Good for you. Atta boy.
Look at you. Awesome.
She's a Brazilian woman.
Wow.
She's wonderful.
Hey now, Mark.
Yeah, buddy.
How many brackets are you going to fill out?
I'm going to fill out a men's and a women's, one each.
All right.
All right, there you go.
Equality. Thank you, Mark. Let's go to Marine Tim. Marine Tim, I think you called in on Friday, so shout out to you. Happy St. Patty's Day. Are you wearing green today?
Yes, sir.
My man. What's the biggest age difference you've ever dated or married?
Dated 17 years, and my wife is 16 years and some change older than me.
Look at you. Was the 17 older as well, or was it younger? Because that could get iffy.
That was, you know, between marriages.
Okay. Dodging the question, but it's all good, Marine Tim. We still love you. How many brackets are you going to fill out?
One.
All right. I hear that. I'll probably do one or two. Brad in Peachtree City. Brad, appreciate you calling in. Hey, are you wearing green today?
Yes.
Three for three. I love it. Shame on everybody here in the studio who's not wearing green. What's the biggest age difference you've ever dated or married?
Dated 7 years older. She was 7 years older.
All right. The guys are going after the older women. I love it. How many brackets are you going to fill out?
Money-wise, probably about five. But, you know, the free ones on ESPN, maybe about like four or five.
Awesome. How old are you, Brad?
47.
Did you ever go to the Cheetah Thursday, Friday Steak Shapiro March Madness parties back in the day?
Oh, absolutely.
Did you really give us
your... I used to love it. They used to dress. They would have teams, themes. So each girl
yeah.
would have like a theme of which, you know what I mean? So it was absolutely.
Were you rolling solo? Were your boys planning this? Was it like let's skip out of work thing?
Boys, the guys, you know, two or three of us at always. One time we went, there was four of us. But at the minimum, just me and another guy.
I love it, Brad. We used to be a proper country. That's good stuff. Have a great March Madness, Brad. Thanks so much for calling in. What about you, Zeno? What's the biggest age difference you've ever dated or married?
Oh,
hesitation. We got to think about this one.
No, we don't have to think about it. I know the answer. I did date a girl 20 years younger than me.
Wow, 20 years younger? Yeah. Well, you do look. You look about 20 years younger than what you actually are. 404-726-0929. Get in on here on the phone lines. It's a great Monday. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I'm wearing green. Everybody should be wearing green, whether you're Irish or not. It's a great holiday just to show some respect to the Irish people and St. Patrick himself. What about you, Bo? What's the age difference? I've always been right on par, honestly. I mean, my wife is 20 days younger than me.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Yeah.
18 years.
Wow. Yeah.
Then my girlfriend now is, there's an 8-year gap, which is not huge.
Okay. Yeah, it's not huge anymore. Jeremiah, you wearing green today?
I am.
My man, I love it. What's the biggest age difference you've ever dated or married?
17 years.
Wow. Love it. How many brackets are you going to fill out?
Zero.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. You and Mark Zeno. Thank you, Jeremiah.
See, with all these guys doing, you know, 18 years younger, like, don't get on Belichick now.
Hey.
Lay off
look,
the guy.
That's a little bit extreme.
Lay off the guy.
Let's go to Chief.
I mean, it is
Chief.
Five decades, but yeah.
Chief, are you wearing green today?
Yes, sir.
I love it. I love it. Thank you, sir. What's the biggest age difference you've ever dated or married?
5 years.
5 years. All right. That's respectable. How many brackets are you going to fill out?
Just one.
Just one?
A women's bracket.
There you go. Oh, a women's bracket only. All right. All right. Good deal. Is it fair to say South Carolina is probably going to win it all in the women's bracket?
South Carolina or UCLA.
Or UCLA. All right. Thanks so much, Chief. Have a great week. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I had to educate Mark Zeno and Day-Day this morning and show them the Mobile, Alabama leprechaun video, one of the first ever viral videos. Who all seen the leprechaun say, yeah, I want the pot of gold. I want the pot of gold. Have you ever seen that, Bo? You've never seen
no
it either?
What talking about,
are
no.
you kidding me?
I'll go search it up
in
right
the
now.
Amateur sketch. I mean, it's all over social media. It has to be mid-2000s. Mobile, Alabama. They're looking for a leprechaun. All-time video. All-time video. No doubt about it. So I'm going to make some shepherd's pie tonight. I will definitely have a pint of Guinness at the proper time. It's going to be a good St. Patrick's Day. It's beautiful outside. Anything else, Mark Zeno?
Just a quick note here from Albert Breer, who made this note about Kirk Cousins. Quote, this is why I still believe the ideal scenario here is for the Steelers, Giants, or Browns to feel some desperation.
Yep.
Be it from the result of the Rodgers sweepstakes or the reality the Titans might just sit tight and take Cam Ward with the first pick.
Wow.
And give the Falcons a chance to buy a draft pick by paying down some of Kirk Cousins' 2025
I don't hate that.
And flipping Atlanta a pick.
I don't hate that. That wouldn't be too bad of a scenario. Get a draft pick.
If you could get a fifth rounder.
Yeah, get a draft pick.
Get a draft pick.
Because you lost the fifth rounder due to the tampering situation
a
year ago.
You know what? And I thoughts on this real quick. I know we're going to get out of here. But you know what I said? Trade the second, the fourth.
Okay.
The sixth and the seventh, because they lost the third. They traded away the fifth for Judon. And they lost the. Well, they traded away the third
back?
For Judon. Trade them all away for a second first round pick.
Okay.
It seems that Fontenot can only
firsts?
Hit on first round picks, save
two
Kyle Pitts.
Firsts? Okay.
Take the two firsts. Why even worry about
wow.
the rest of the deal?
Are you actually making some sense? You should tweet that one.
I already
out.
Did last week. Everybody loved the idea.
Did you call or text Fontenot? Get into the front office.
Like,
you know,
honestly,
you need to start making these decisions.
What's the point to draft the day two and three guys.
Yeah,
you don't
they
hit
have
them.
Not been working out.
Just get another first. See if you can give up the other three picks. Get
they
a late first rounder.
They have not been working out.
Take two first rounders and go to sleep. We'll see you guys on Monday.
Z-Man, it's been fun, man. Little Friday, Monday action. Drew Butler, Mark Zeno. Bo, thank you so much, Day-Day, as always. We run a tight ship over here. We had some fun, some three strikes, some things I learned. March Madness coming up this week. A beautiful week here in Atlanta, Georgia. For everybody, I'm Drew Butler. He's Mark Zeno. Appreciate you tuning in to the Steakhouse right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.